Welcome to the tree fort. You deal with it. What?
Nothing.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get into
you just, yeah, you're just like...
Welcome, motherfuckers. Yeah. God.
You're just jumping into the pants. I just need you're this not to putting happen. Them on, like, you know, casually one leg on at a time. Yeah.
We've been putting them on one leg at a time.
I know, yeah. Are you still doing? Hey, oh, welcome to the tree fort gang.
She literally just screamed.
She peed. Knowing her, she definitely peed.
That was legitimate fear.
Yeah.
All right, now I think that's a
fuck you, now I'm crying, too. You're making it come out of all the holes.
Well, hopefully we can keep the poop at bay. But anyway.
Don't yell like that again.
Welcome to the tree. My teeth. Welcome to the tree fort.
That's better, yeah.
Fort Sports.
Hashtag, we are Fort Sports.
We are Fort Sports. Hashtag Fort Sports. Hashtag new sport. Well, it's not a new sport.
It's newer.
It's been around.
It's been around since the 50s, guys.
The 50s.
Most sports been around longer.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
American football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
this kind of racing was around before it became this kind of racing.
Right. It's been...
People have always been racing.
Yeah. People been racing. Whether it's been cars or horses or on foot, whatever the case may be. Formula One racing. These are the...
Do the Formula One thing.
Formula One.
The Jean Girard. The fast little speedy race cars. Everybody had one as a kid.
Is it fast enough so we can fly away?
They go
270 miles an hour.
But we need to make a decision.
Should we leave tonight?
We leave tonight?
I was waiting for her to get into
it. I am fucking leaving. I am leaving right fucking now.
We just live and die this way. So.
Die whenever. I don't give one fuck. I'm leaving.
Do you have a fast Formula One car?
I fucking hate you.
So, Formula One is what we're talking about. We have the foremost expert on the subject, Rose Murray Andretti. Yeah.
Junior.
Rose Mario Andretti.
Rose Mario Andretti Jr.
The third.
We've got Joseph, I don't know, another Formula One. We have Joe Girard.
You know how I'm struggling? I almost introduced myself as Joseph of House Biden right now.
Pretty much.
Jojan is too hungover to function right now.
Yeah, shout out to Mason and Caroline getting married. That was fun.
And Caroline, shout out to Matthew the chicken running loose.
How do you remember the name I gave it?
Because it's his name. It's an egotist.
Oh, that's very good idea.
Okay. And
you just made me piss my husband's sweatpants. I don't want to fucking
my husband's sweatpants.
Get the eyes from you.
What a way to defer.
Wait till you get home, do it again, and take him off and hand him to him.
What a way to be like, this is not my problem. Yeah. These are my husband's sweatpants. Ye peed in them.
These aren't even my pants.
This isn't even my pee.
Whose pants did I just piss in?
I've been sitting in these pee pants all day. This is Philip Owen, if you didn't know.
We're in proper form.
Now you know. We're fully maxed out right now. Super hard. Ready to go. 5¼ inches of pure steel.
Almost the length of a dollar.
Yes. Why do you know that?
The short way.
Why do you know that?
I've definitely used a dollar to measure.
Five, and that's so dirty. You've got someone else's cocaine on your dick.
Have you seen the town?
For not that reason. Huh?
Have you seen the town?
No.
Okay.
Why? Because, they talk about penis and paper.
Well, it doesn't talk. He talks about, like, I know everything. John Hamm is talking to Blake Lively, and he's like, I know everything there is to know about money. I know the width of it is like 0.0001 centimeter, blah, blah, blah. The length of it is 6.14 inches. And she's like, oh, I'm going to start calling you Mr. Dollar Bill. And he's like, oh, okay. But so it's like, that's a thing. From
about 1.64 inches.
Yeah. It's closer.
And it's width, it's 2.61 inches. So okay. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Bigger than I thought.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we can say that we already, like, recorded most of this, and
yeah.
we're doing this after the fact?
Cause yeah,
I think,
this like, is...
But I genuinely liked, like, the conversation. I know it felt like, for a large part, it felt like I was just conducting an interview, but I learned so much about Formula One in that conversation.
But you know what? That's the hard-hitting journalistic integrity that we possess here at Fort Sports.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm saying it as a good thing. Like, yeah. everyone yeah. that's listening to this right now, like, you guys should be excited, because it actually really is a... I think it's entertaining, but it was also very... It's probably the most educational thing that we've done to this point, even really, considering the fantasy football.
Yeah. Even now, like... I mean, we recorded it, but I asked Rose earlier, do these cars use gas? Because... I know we're in a time where electric vehicles are huge, and apparently it is some sort of, like, crazy fuel that they use. There is batteries on board, and the good drivers can, you know, not manipulate, but, what, work with the distribution between the two? Like, that's pretty cool. Like, there's shit. If you would have asked me a month ago, I would have thought somebody just hops in the car and goes like a go-kart track. But there's a lot more to it, the tires and everything like that. So, super yeah. informative. Yeah.
When I was watching the one race, they were talking about the different tires they were all putting on because of the raining yeah. conditions.
Yeah.
You know, they'll even know, like, the announcers ahead of a race, they'll know what teams are going to be favored to fare better during. I mean, obviously, sans Red Bull, because they're just dominating right now. But they'll know which teams are going to perform better based on the downforce that is put onto the cars during braking zones, declines, inclines. So the McLarens with the updates, they're like super high downforce cars. So they'll do really well with intense braking zones, especially downhill braking zones. And they will dominate those quadrants of the track as opposed to straightaways, which will always be like Red Bulls, Ferraris. So there's a lot of analysis that goes into it, and they do so much with that data. It's insane.
So if you pulled up like FanDuel or something like, or Barstool or anything like that, could you put bets on the individual races or anything like that?
I have absolutely no idea. I've never bet on anything like that.
I'm going to bet on Max B. Stabbing.
Yeah, fuck you.
I'm going to bet on Prince Albert.
So this,
and his Prince Albert.
This is after the fact that we, you know, recorded this. The episode that we recorded was prior to the summer break.
Yeah.
But this last race that was in Monza, which is the fastest track, it's got the longest straightaway, highest top speed of any of the tracks. One of the Ferraris was on the podium, so he got third place. And then later that night, staying in Milan, it was his birthday too, Carlos Sainz, he's a Spanish driver. Later that night, someone got into his hotel room and stole a $500,000 watch from him. He chased this motherfucker down by foot himself on the streets of Milan, caught the bitch, got the watch back. So he won many a races that night. Like, it was just insane.
What was your question about betting?
Can you bet on their races?
Yeah, so I see, it's kind of like golf. It's like, I see a bunch of names listed, winner, like, then they have the odds, top yeah. six, and they have the odds, and then top 10. And then I saw for, like, podium finish, and you can, which is just, like, just, I think, anywhere on the podium.
Nice.
And then for your question with, so all the Formula 1, 2, 3 cars, they're obviously, as we said in the episode, the formula is what separates the rules, the cars, all that stuff. Formula One cars are gas, they're combustion engines. They are combustion engine primary with a battery backup, but Formula E, they are full electric, and they literally sound like jet engines. They sound so cool. So that's been around for a while, but they usually race like a week behind. So they're probably racing Monza this week, where Formula One was just there last week.
Nice. Mm. Fun fact, a lot of electric cars are too quiet, so they're starting to put in, like, fake noises. So
mine has that.
Oh, yeah?
There's a law that says that it has to be over 10 decibels.
Oh, yeah.
So that you don't, like, creep up on someone and run them over.
Exactly. Because, like, yeah, if you're deaf, you have no... Well, yeah. I guess either way. If you're deaf, I think I'm blind. I'm in bad shape.
If you're blind, you have no idea where the car
is. If you're Helen Keller, you are fucked.
Truth.
That Tesla's going to find you.
I'm going to get you. What's that movie? The Dilemma? You know what I'm talking about?
I feel like I've seen it, but I've forgotten because Vince Vaughn,
Kevin James, and they're like, they're trying to make, it's when like electric vehicles were first starting and they were trying to make an engine for like a Dodge Charger. So like a sport engine electric, but then also like it had the noise to it. And then the whole premise of the movie is like Winona Ryder is Kevin James's wife and she was cheating on him and Vince Vaughn knew. And like, did he tell it? Was he supposed to tell him? Was he supposed to leave it alone? And how to do that whole thing. But it was a good movie.
Nice.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm trying to find the... So there are certain electric cars that not only do they have like the speakers like built in to make... I wouldn't call them an engine sound. Like they don't all sound like a regular combustion engine, but they do have a sound. Noise, yeah, like the Volvos and Polestars, they sound like... Everyone says mine sounds like a rocket ship. I can't hear it from the inside of the car. Or a spaceship, rather. I can't hear it from the inside of the car. But there are certain models of any kind of electric car that you can change the way that the car sounds on the outside. So you could be driving, like, a Lamborghini Urus that is full electric, but it can you can make it sound like a Ferrari or a Hellcat or an old, you know, American muscle fucking maxed out at 1,000 horsepower. Like, you can make it sound like whatever you want. There are settings built in.
What if we took your car and switched the sound so it just sounded like La Cucaracha?
I would be down. I would be down.
Like you just hear in the distance. Like, oh, Rose is near.
My one thing that I would hope with that is that people confused it for an ice cream truck, so I just had people like gathering to the fucking Rose.
Stop following me. I don't have ice cream.
I'd be down with that.
One time we'll give you ice cream and you can just chuck them out the window.
It's just going to be like I'm scooping the ice cream and throwing the whole spoon just, like at someone's face.
Yeah. I like it. Good idea. Yeah. Write that down.
Write that down. So you guys are in for a good episode.
So this is Rose teaching PB and JJ about the wonderful world of Formula One racing. Racing, from my knowledge, is very NASCAR driven, where it's, I didn't know that there are tracks that are not a circle. I didn't know that, I mean, I don't watch racing sports. So this is all new to me. So I am a shy little virgin in the Formula One world. Go easy on me. Go easy on me, but you know, but don't hold back.
We're doing it raw, and we're doing it without lube.
No lube, straight, no chasing.
You shouldn't need any.
I can use the tears. Yeah.
It's like throwing a hot dog outside.
So I'm looking up. So what is Formula One?
Okay, so Formula One.
When was it started?
1950.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I know, like, as NASCAR was started to be... The Rum Runners, right? They're bootleggers running from the cops.
I know absolutely nothing about NASCAR.
Okay.
Other than...
And I know that because of Talladega Nights, so...
What's the track that's around here? Watkins Glen.
Watkins Glen. Yes.
And that one isn't...
Not a circle.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. I think they call it a...
Is that Formula One?
No, that's NASCAR.
Yeah, okay. It's a Wiggly track. It's like dirt track, right?
I was going to say they call it's a rally?
Paved.
Track? Yeah, you're
something like that. Where they specifically call if it's not a loop, it's got a different name. But I don't fucking know.
Who
shit.
Killed the guy there?
That's
Tony Stewart.
That's Canandaigua.
Oh,
and yes,
someone died.
Allegedly,
there?
Tony Stewart killed a guy.
Allegedly,
it was when. No, it's not alleged. It's on video. I was in sports law at the time, so we spent like half of our semester like talking about that specifically because it happened at that time. I want to say it was like fall.
You're talking about on a track?
Yeah. So this guy, he was racing, and this is so off subject immediately. But this guy, he was racing, like there was like beef, and like they were getting really pissed off with each other. So this guy's an idiot. He gets, like, spun out, whatever. He gets out of his car on the track, and he's, like, as Tony Stewart's coming around, he's, like, yelling at him, like, gesturing, and Tony Stewart on the turn just took him out and killed him. So it's, like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We watched the video as part of my law class.
I love that.
It was sick.
Yeah, so I, like, kind of fell into Formula One, honestly, just at the beginning of the season. Like, over the winter,
New fan.
Oh, yeah. But I'm, like, I'm in deep. Okay. I literally just...
So deep?
I just bought the $80 Xbox 2023 Formula One racing game, and I played it for 8 hours yesterday. So, like...
Nice.
I'm in deep. It's an obsession. But my dad raised me on NHRA, which is, like, drag strip racing, where it's, like, Top Fuel, insanely fast, but just straight line racing. He was never into,
Now, those are guys that dress up like girls?
How would they be girls?
Oh. Did you say drag,
drag racing? I was like, what? And then I got into, like, rally car racing probably, like, 10 years ago, just casually would watch it. And I don't know... I feel like I stumbled across a reel, like an Instagram reel, about Formula One or, like, about the construction of the vehicles and, like, the top speeds and stuff. And so I started watching it. And then someone was like, yo, there's a whole fucking Netflix show about Formula One called Drive to Survive that was apparently specifically made to, like, pull in the American audience. And I just read a fact, like, a couple days ago that the guy that bought Formula One... In 2016, the, like, worth of it or whatever was, I want to say, $8 billion. And they then introduced this Drive to Survive show. I think there's maybe 5 seasons, so, like, 5 years. And it is now worth $18 billion just from the fucking Americans getting involved.
The, like, is F1, like, a league?
So there's... F1, F2, F3, F4, the reason why it's called Formula 1 or Formula 2 or whatever is the specific formula that is, like, the rules surrounding the engines, the drivers, the licenses, like, the tires even. There's, like, rules for, like, the tires and the way that they do points and stuff.
So is F2, like, an amateur version of F1?
They're not amateur.
Why do I only know of F1?
Because it's the fastest racing cars in the world. You have to have a super license to race, which is, like, you have to have a regular driver's license. You have to have, like, tested knowledge. You have to have previous, I don't know, maybe it's, like, 40 points or something in 3 years leading up to you getting your super license in championship racing. So, like, F2, F3, F4, whatever. I don't think the F4 is a thing. But, so a super license, you have to have it to race in Formula One. You don't need it for anything else. Like, these cars top speed at, like, 270 miles an hour. Damn. And it's all, so it's single car, open cockpit,
These are the, like, the pointy, like, it looks like a go-kart, like, on, like, speed.
Yeah.
Like, the pointy nose, and, like, it's just the one guy, you just see... The head.
Yes.
And then it's got the, okay.
Right, and that's, they do have a halo now that is, like, yeah, almost like the frame, like a roll cage kind of, to help with rolling, but also if, like, one car is, like, on top of another, it's, like, saved lives from, you know, not landing on the driver's head.
Yeah, it's important.
I
don't want to want that.
So, what is a Grand Prix?
So, Grand Prix are the races. They call all of them Grand Prix. And there's no playoffs, Super Bowl, anything like that. So the way that a driver obviously wins, you can win a single race, podium, which is first, second, and third. First place gets 25 points. Second place gets 18 points. Third place might get, like, 10, 12 points, something like that. And then the rest, fourth through 10th, get a small amount of points in descending order. You can also get one bonus point if you set the fastest lap of the entire race, but you have to be in the top 10 places in order to earn that point. Right now, there are 10 teams. Each team is allowed 2 cars at any one time. Like, they can't have an extra car built in a garage in case shit goes wrong. And so there's 20 drivers on the grid. and throughout 20, the entire...
So 28 drivers
20.
Compete
20.
In a Grand Prix.
Right.
How do you qualify for a Grand Prix?
So, to qualify, the way that racing weekends are set up is that you usually get 3 free practices. So these are just getting used to the track, testing out changes to your car or whatever. So you'll get 2 free practices on, like, a Friday. Then you'll get a free practice on a Saturday. And then the way that qualifying works is they usually do a 3-round back-to-back, like, 15-20-minute qualifier where everyone is on the grid, but you don't start behind a starting line. So it's, like, they kind of stagger them so that there's not a lot of traffic so everyone can get good times. And let's say it takes you a minute and 40 seconds to get around the track. It takes me a minute and 41 seconds, and it takes Matt a minute and 42 seconds. You would then go on to the next qualifying, so Q2, which happens, you know, half an hour later. The first qualifying, the top 15 fastest people make it through to Q2. So then that sets the grid positions for 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th places, because they get out. They're not allowed to participate in qualifying 2 or 3. Qualifying 2 happens again, same thing. Everyone's on the grid, or everyone's on the track at the same time, but you don't start all at the same time. You don't start right behind one another. And again, 10 people get through from Q2 into Q3. And then Q3 is the same thing again. You usually get new soft tires so you can grip really well. And it's just two, you know, balls to the wall, trying to get the fastest time that you can. And that sets the grid order for positions 1 through 10.
So how many, like, what defines a season?
So those cumulative points that you earn from the races, you know, first place, 25 points and so on, that is cumulative for your season. And at the end of the season, the driver with the highest amount of accumulated points wins.
How many races are there per season?
There's 23 this year. I think there's 24 next year.
Okay, so it changes.
Damn.
As they add stuff. Because I think this year is the first one they have one in the U.S., right? The Las Vegas one?
No, they've had one in Miami for a few years. And there's one in Austin.
Oh, yeah, Miami Grand Prix, yep.
Yeah, this is the first track that they've had in Vegas, though. And my brother lives out there, and he was saying that they have, like, spent hundreds of, like, millions of dollars to upgrade roads and, like, infrastructure to make the roads track ready, because it does go through the streets.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that we're having it here, knowing how notoriously bad our infrastructure is.
Right. But then, so at the same time that the drivers are getting the points and, you know, they finish out the season with X amount of points to win.
And then it's just whoever has the most amount of points. So someone theoretically could just, like, blow it out of the water and just be, like, champion by halfway through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. For sure. But then at the same time that that's happening, let's say Mercedes has 2 drivers. Let's say both of their drivers' accumulated points make Mercedes the top constructors champion. They also have a constructors championship. So, like, you could have 2 great drivers that maybe aren't necessarily first for driving points in the driving championship, but they could win the constructors championship.
Which is, like, the brand or, like, the company, the manufacturer.
Yes,
kind of, yeah.
Right. And that gives them, you know, more money for
sponsors, it's a lot of European car brands, so they get to look
right. Well, cool. America does have a constructor as well, Haas, H-A-A-S. I think their facility is based out of, like, I don't know, the Carolinas, Virginia, maybe. So they are the constructor. The employees are American, but they currently have Ferrari engines in their cars, I believe.
Okay.
And there's 4 different kinds of engines. Ferrari, Renault, which is French. Red Bull is the only one using the Honda engines. Red Bull and AlphaTauri, because they're the same thing. And what's the 4th one? I think Mercedes has their own engine.
So, I'm just looking up other stuff, too. That's why I've been asking you these questions. So, they make about... So, in 2022, we made about $2.5 billion in revenue. And that's up from $2.1 the year before. Nice. That's a lot of money.
There was something else I was going to say. So, also something that is new that started this year, or maybe last year, is I think that they have 6 or 7 sprints in addition to the 23 races, and they happen the same weekend as racing on the same track. But it's, instead of going the set amount of miles, it is a short amount of laps, like a dozen. I think it varies by track. And so you have a lighter fuel load, you can have top speeds, and that is like a small amount of points given to the winner. But it's a different format, and it allows for a bit more dramatic racing.
Mm-hmm. So who are like the top drivers in the game right now?
Unfortunately, Max Verstappen, he is for Red Bull. He has almost literally double the points of the next highest person with the points, who is also a Red Bull driver. So he has like 250 some odd points or something like that. And Sergio Perez is the other Red Bull driver, and he has like 100 points. And then I would assume it would be Fernando Alonso. He is an Aston Martin driver, and Lewis Hamilton's got to be up there too. I would say top five.
Those two. So the Max Verstappen will probably win.
Oh, yeah. He's right? Killing them.
Right, oh, yeah.
Now. And then Red Bull will probably get the
Constructors Championship.
Constructors, yeah.
Looks like, yeah, they're for one and two right now because they have the Perez guy. And then.
Yeah.
The next guy, Alonso's with Aston Martin, which is, I think, what you said.
He's the oldest driver, and he's got amazing experience, and he's great, and he seems like a really good guy, too.
Oh, and then even on Google, it will show you the drivers and the constructors. So Red Bull's leading Mercedes by, like, 246.
Oh, so is Mercedes second?
Yeah, and then Aston Martin, Ferrari.
Yeah, so Mercedes is Lewis Hamilton, who is the guy that's won 7 world championships, and he was Max Verstappen's, like, nemesis for the longest time, and Red Bull, like, once they switch to that Honda engine, they are absolutely, absolutely unbeatable. Like, it's insane.
What engine were they using?
Honestly, maybe they were using a Mercedes engine.
Honda.
Yeah, very, very good. Yeah.
They make a hell of a lawnmower engine, I'll tell you that.
If I wanted to watch F1, where and how would I go about doing that?
I have an F1, like, membership, but that's because I want to be able to watch any race from any year.
So they have, like, a league pass, like NBA and NFL Sunday Ticket.
Right, but it's also, like, on, I want to say ESPN.
Yeah, ESPN 1. It's just, like, how do you go about, like, knowing the time of the races and...
I don't know. I'm not a normal person that has normal cable, so I don't know the answer to that question. I watch it on Hulu, and I, you know, subscribe to it. So anytime there is an F1 event, it's automatically recorded for me. So that's when, you know, if there's a race at 6 in the morning, I am only up at 6 in the morning if I haven't gone to sleep from a party. And I'll just watch it when I wake up.
Okay, so it looks like there's sometimes significant gaps in between. So I just Googled Formula One schedule, and it looks like
they're in their summer break right now.
The last one was Sunday, July 23rd. Oh, no, Sunday, July 30th was the Belgian Grand Prix.
Yep.
So the next one's not until the 27th of August, and that's the Dutch Grand Prix, and then the Italian is September 3rd, yeah, Singapore, September 17th, and then we're towards the end of September. But, okay, so it goes for a while. It goes all the way until when?
Yeah, I would say March until maybe November.
The last one I see is the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix right now, and it's showing November 26th.
Right, and the Vegas one might be the week before that. It's like okay, a 16th, I found it on 17th.
The, yeah, I found it on the F1 page. So when did the season start? It starts in February?
I was going to say February or March.
Actually started right before the podcast did. So we're catching up. We're still with them.
Yeah, so they do every year, they do a month-long summer break.
Gotcha. Which, okay, and that's, you know, what's coming up, yeah.
Yeah. I guess what's the drama of the league? You know, and you said that the one guy and the other guy were kind of...
Are there any, like, rivalries or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of, like, individuals. Yeah.
When was the last fist fight?
I'm trying to think. It was George Russell. He got out before he was a Mercedes driver, so maybe, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Like, someone caused an accident, and he literally hopped out of his car on the track and went and, like, hit a guy. Like, also in his car off the track.
Yeah.
Some of the rivalries that have happened have been between two teammates on the same team. So I think that Danny Ricciardo, he's, like, an Australian driver... He actually just came back to the grid after a year off. He raced with Red Bull back in the day, and then he raced with McLaren. And McLaren didn't renew his contract at the end of last year. And there was this kid, Nick DeVries, that was racing for AlphaTauri, the second Red Bull team, and he just was not performing well. And really, in the middle of the season, they were like, hey, fuck off. And two races ago, Daniel Ricciardo came back on the grid. And he was, when he was on Red Bull, I think he was on Red Bull with Sergio Perez, or maybe it was Alpine. I can't remember. And they're both doing really well. They're in Monaco. They're looking for points. They're in the lead. They're both going to be on the podium at this rate. And I think Sergio Perez went to get around Danny Ricciardo, and they both crashed and were out for the entire weekend. And that kind of thing has happened numerous times between teammates.
So these teams, do they stick? Because I know you said, like, one person got, like, told to F off. And there's the F2, the F3. And it's like, is that, like, for baseball terms, like, AAA and AA, where it's like, hey, man, you're not cutting it up here. We're going to send you down to the Red Bull F2. And if you get some more, you know, experience under your belt, then we'll bring you up. Or is it like you're out of Red Bull and then the guy goes to F2 and maybe he does really good with, I don't know.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Generally, okay. Someone gets to F1 by being, you know, in F2. You'll have sponsorships. So like Mercedes, Red Bull, whatever, they have a list of, okay, here's next in line, you know, that they'll sit right at the races. Sometimes they're even a third driver. Like if someone's ill or they get injured or something, you can bring in a third driver, but they have to be in one of your two cars. So I know that they pull them up from other championship racing, but I don't know what happens when they get shit canned like that. I mean, a lot of the time it's like they'll just honestly sign with another team, right? Still in Formula One. I know that Fernando Alonso, the older guy that is with Aston Martin, he like retired years ago and he's like, I'm gonna see what else I can do. And then he literally went to 24 Hours of Le Mans, like the race that's in Ford versus Ferrari, and won it. And he was like, okay, I'm bored. Like, I'm gonna come back to Formula One.
Okay.
So I know that they are like Lewis Hamilton. He's still obviously in F1, but he also does rally racing as well. So like they have other ventures.
That's the one that's like in a Ford Focus and there's like two people and somebody's like,
your navigator is reading. Your passenger. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's like the most dangerous racing. Like people, I think that the like injuries and deaths that happen in rally racing are like tenfold what they ever are in Formula One.
Well, yeah, it seems like that. But
I've seen videos of that one where it's crazy, where it's just like turning up, like the one dude just has a map and he's like, all right, you're turning up here. It's like, is the driver not looking? Like,
oh, the commands that they give are like 10% here, like throttle brake, you know, the gear that they want the car to be in. There's like so many other things, but it's like they're really relying on that person to like not kill them both, basically.
So you would consider the constructor like the team, right?
Right.
Would you say that it's like a more team dominant league, like the NFL, where people know like the teams more so than the individuals? Or is it a players league like the NBA, where people really like the individuals more than the team, the constructors?
Honestly, there's a bit of both going on. Like people live and die by Ferrari because they're Ferrari. And I feel like they don't as much, Ferrari fans don't as much get attached to the drivers as they do, you know, they're just in love with Ferraris historically and they want that team to win.
Does the person, like, matter, like, as much as it does in other sports? Like, Max Verstappen, is he, like, really that much better than, like, the next person?
That's the thing that you really will never find out in Formula One because they are allowed, I mean, they'll give you the rules, the FIA rules are, like, you know, your wheelbase has to be between, you know, it cannot exceed this, and it needs to be at minimum this width or whatever. Everyone's tires are the same, but you can choose which ones you want. They give you parameters that you have to follow, but your engineering, your aerodynamics, whatever, that's all given by your team. So the cars do vary enough that you will never know, like, unless you literally take Max Verstappen and put him in a Mercedes with Lewis Hamilton, you'll never know.
Exact same car setup.
Right. And, like, the car setups also...
I did see that they cap how much you're allowed to spend per year on your car development to make it more fair across the board. I think it was, like, $145 million.
Yeah. I think the total budget is $225 million. But it's, like, you're allowed, obviously, other things, like...
So, how much are these F1 drivers, like, making?
That is all dependent upon their contract. One of my favorite racers historically is, like, this Finnish dude named Kimi Räikkönen. He didn't like the press. There was, like, a time in Monaco where he crashed and he was just so pissed off. He literally, it's still in his uniform with his helmet, walked off the track and went to his fucking yacht and drove off. Like, he's hilarious. But for him, there was a year that he was racing with, maybe it was Alfa Romeo, that in his clause, for every single point that he scored, he would bonus $20,000. And he had, like, a massive $8 million payout one year. And they were like, okay, let's never do that again. We didn't think that that was going to happen. Whereas sometimes they'll sign for 4 years and it'll be a solid $3 million.
Yeah, I guess I'm just looking, I was asking for, like, in reference to, like, other sports, how much these guys are making. So I looked it up too while you were explaining that. And I see, like, the number one is Verstappen right now through Red Bull.
Right.
It's a contract length. I don't know when he signed it. It says through 2028. So if he just signed it, that'd be a 5-year like contract. Like a week ago. So 5 years, $55 million. So it's about $11 million a year, which... I mean, if that's really good for, like, an NFL player.
And that's his base rate. Like, he probably also has incentives, bonuses, for opponents. Yeah,
yeah.
For
podiums so they don't make quite as much as, like, NBA players, but they do pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, another one that I think just signed a, like, historically very long contract is Charles Leclerc. He's a Ferrari driver, and he's pretty good. He's young. He looks like Harry Potter.
Leclerc, yep, 24, yeah. His contract is just a 1 year, but for $24 million.
Damn.
Sheesh.
Oh, no, I think that that one...
Oh, that's total value. That's total value.
But right, and true. I think that that length, it was like, it was a 4 or 5 year original that just recently expired or will expire soon.
Yep. Interesting. But, like, a lot of these guys, like, after you get past, like, the top 7, they're all in the single-digit millions, which is still a lot of money, plus they have the chance to make sponsorship stuff on top of it. But there's certainly more lucrative sports that you could be.
I mean, it is different because it's, like, when you're in, they call it the midfield. So when you're between, like, 10th and 15th places, or with the constructors, there's 20 constructors. If you're, like, the 10th through 15th constructor, you don't have a ton of money. I mean, you've got money, but you don't have a ton of money. You can't really, you know, you don't have the budget for R&D. You can't pay for the fastest pit crew. You know, extra parts will literally be flown in with human beings, like, on business class commercial flights. Mm-hmm. So those midfield cars and constructors and drivers, that's probably the most competitive you'll see between a race. It's usually, like, at this point, Max Verstappen, his last race in Spa in Belgium, he literally finished 22 seconds ahead of the next driver, which was also a Red Bull driver. And then everyone else, I would bet that 3rd through 20th positions are maybe have, like, a 7-second difference or something. So it is crazy competitive in the midfield.
Hmm. Interesting. It's a lot.
Does Lamborghini have a team?
Mm-mm.
Really?
Honda, and they're both Red Bull Honda and AlphaTauri, so it's, like, their farm team almost, AlphaTauri, so yeah. they don't have, like, all the R&D, and they're, like, younger, less experienced drivers. Mercedes-AMG is one, Ferrari, Alfa Romeo, Alpine, Aston Martin, Haas, oh, there's two more.
Duhast.
Williams, which they used to be amazing. My, like, favorite driver of all time, his name was Ayrton Senna. He was a Williams driver, and now they are literally the worst team. Like, they consistently will have, if they place, they're placing 19th and 20th, or consistently they'll have both cars not finish. And then there's another one that I'm missing.
When you're watching this, does it have, like for measurements, does it do, like, our measurement system?
Mm-mm.
It does. So it'll show, like, how kilometers per hour they're doing and stuff like that.
Yep.
Interesting.
And, like, they'll do, like, track temperatures in Celsius.
Because I just saw a thing where it said, like, the drivers will lose kilos of water per thing. And I'm like,
it's
I don't
about
know how,
8 pounds.
I was like, I don't know how much that is.
On average, it's 8 pounds. They weigh them before they go into their cars, and then they weigh them as soon as they get out, and it's 8 pounds worth of sweat.
Damn.
It's crazy.
So what, like, if you had to tell me, like, one reason to, like, get into F1, what would you say as a fan?
Oh, I...
What's the most pronounced thing you're looking for when you watch?
Precision. I don't know. Like, it's, like... I feel like the mental,
like,
focus that these
speed?
People have.
Like, you, like, your favorite part is, like, watching how they're able to maneuver these courses, like, to down to, like, the minute detail, like, on the road.
Right.
Like, when you say precision, like, you're looking at how they're taking an angle and, like, how they're doing, like, how precise they are
yeah.
with their craft.
And they'll have crazy analytics. They must have sensors on, like, every single part of the car. So, in addition to, obviously, the racers going out and doing their thing, and they've got, like, a pit crew that, and they've got radios.
Mm-hmm.
On, there's, they call it the paddock. It's, like, the pit wall, so it's, like, you'll have 8 people for Red Bull sitting there just looking at monitors. And it's, like, they'll think, or they'll realize that there's damage to the front wing that could affect the car by, like, a tenth of a second because of a sensor that's, like, sensing a weight difference or something like that. So, and they'll know, like, the tire pressures, they'll know, like, the fuel load. So they do not refuel these cars, like NASCAR.
Yeah, I noticed that. They used to, they stopped, right?
Yes, yep. So they also will show basically a bird's eye view of one car on top of another and the differences between when they brake, when they throttle, when they coast. And it's, like, that little bit that the different drivers do, that little bit extra precision or technique or whatever they're doing, it's, like, crazy to see how just tiny changes get you first place or get you 15th place. It's crazy.
That's interesting. I just also just want to go back to the money thing. All-time earnings. Lewis Hamilton's number one at $489 million. So that's a lot. That is
something that is,
that's like Chris
fascinating Paul. To me about him is that he is consistently using the least amount of fuel every single race by a lot. So they, like, don't fuel his car as much, and even
to try and, like, make it lighter.
Yes. And even with that, he is able to perform as well as he does without just fucking putting it to the floor the whole time.
Are you planning on going to a Grand Prix anytime soon?
Yeah, I was just looking at tickets to Austin. They're about $500 for good seats, but the hotels are absolutely insane. I really want to go to Vegas because my brother lives there, but there is, like, the tickets to go and see the race, if you want standing room only, are about $2,000.
Damn.
Standing room Damn. Only in a fucking desert.
That's wild.
It's going to be a night race for that one. But probably next year, I will go to Montreal. Those tickets are, like, $300.
Oh, they have one in Montreal?
Yep.
That's close enough by.
Oh, yeah. And then, we were actually just looking, I think that around 4th of July weekend is a race in, I think it's the Silverstone race. But I was thinking, I was, like, talking to Tyler about getting all of us tickets, which they're not expensive tickets, and having, like, I don't know, like, a week-long vacation and just taking Archer with us. So we might do that next year.
Yeah.
That sounds cool. I feel like I'm interviewing you.
Now you say good tickets. Are these situations where you could get hit by, like, a flying tire or something?
No, it's not like NASCAR.
Okay.
I mean, they usually have a massive amount
Should
of
I
space.
Should I be concerned?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'll probably get really fucked up and, like, die or get arrested.
So, yes, but not
for those.
Yeah, but
that can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
What is the formula?
So, it's the specific set of rules that govern. But it's, like, you're allowed 13 sets of tires in a weekend. And the tires come in different compounds for, like, different track temperatures or rain or whatever. You're allowed X amount of engines. Maybe it's 4 engines, 4 gearboxes in a whole season. You'll suffer penalties either financially or, so Max Verstappen is literally so good that this last race, he wanted a new gearbox just to make shifting, more efficient. And it was their 5th gearbox or 4th gearbox of the season, one more than they were allotted. And it gave him a 5-place penalty. So he qualified first and had to start 5th, and he still fucking won the race. No. I hate this guy.
Seems like a cool guy.
Fuck him.
Nice. All right. Well, those are all the questions I have about Formula One. I learned a lot.
Yeah. That Senna guy that I was telling you about, have you guys seen the clip of Steph Curry, like, warming up, and he's, like, bouncing, he's, like, dribbling the ball, and it, like, bounces weird and, like, flies off, and it's, like, the court was fucked
up. He noticed, yeah, the spot on the court.
Yes. So, similar to that, at one of the races that Ayrton Senna was at, like, back in the 80s or 90s, he hit a wall, like, caught a wall with, like, the corner of, like, the back of his tire, like, didn't damage it or anything, but hit, like, his team radioed, and they were like, what did you hit? And he's like, oh, I think I clipped the wall. They're like, why did you hit the wall? Like, what are you doing, you rookie? And he's like, oh, it must have moved. And they thought that he was joking, like, just making a little quip. But apparently someone had come around that same corner, like, a few laps before and hit the barrier. And then the marshals or whatever, they put it back in place, but it was moved closer to the track by 5 centimeters. And that's how precise he was. That, like...
Okay, see, I can understand that.
Like, similar to the Steph Curry thing.
Yeah. Well, the flat spot on the court is actually pretty easy to see. It's, like, just as soon as the ball just bounces different. But that's cool. I think that's a good way to transfer back in. Just talking about the precision, except you're still eating.
You can't stop, won't stop, dude.
That's cool.
He's a hungry little fella.
I know a lot. Well, you did a lot of talking, a lot of teaching today about Formula One.
Yeah. I think this is a good spot to put a pin in it.
Yeah. I don't know what else we could get into without getting, like, super niche. And yeah. I would have done a little bit more research if I knew we were talking about this today.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, I learned a lot. I learned a shit ton. So
I did as well.
Even if you, the listener, didn't get shit from this, I don't really care because I did.
Fuck you.
I gained a lot of knowledge, and that's what I'm here for. So, with that being said, thanks for stopping by the fort.
Yeah, we're going to get on out of here, guys. Thanks for coming to Fort Sports.
All right, so...
it's going to close us out for today, guys.
That's wrapping up the F1 Fort Sports second episode in the Fort Sports series.
What else we got coming?
We've got an NBA season preview, an NHL season preview coming.
A little MLB postseason.
MLB postseason. Once that gets ironed out, a lot of really hot playoff races right now.
Ooh.
A lot of hot men, yeah. But a lot of really close races right now for that. And then Rose... we'll do some F1 updates. We can do an update with our butts, our fantasy butts team that Rose drafted for
tasty.
Us last. Mmm, tasty. That could be a sound clip that we add from here on out. But yeah, so hit the likes, the subscribes, the
follows,
shares,
the
follows.
Stars, the social media, hit that app, and then hit the search bar, and then hit Tree Fork Gang, and
tap
then hit
that
follow,
app.
And then hit like on literally all of our posts, and
tap
hit share,
buttons.
And
show us your tits.
Yes,
yeah, maybe
please.
We'll let you in if you do that. yeah, so...
tits, please.
tits, please. Okay, yeah, so with that being said, thanks for stopping by. We will see you next week. Peace.